Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call with the management of Addiko Bank AG. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any conference call participants had difficulties hearing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone keypad for operator assistance. I may now hand you over to the Addiko team who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Razvan Munteanu. I'm the CEO of Addiko Bank. I am joined here by the Group Management Board, Markus Krause, CRO, Johannes Proksch, CFO, Csongor Németh, Chief Corporate Banking Officer, and Edgar Flagl, Head of Investor Relations. Welcome, everyone. Given the inquiries we received over the past days expressing concerns regarding the share price development as a consequence of the ad hoc we published last Friday, we host this call to provide you with background and the opportunity for a Q&A session. You have all seen our ad hoc referring to the draft SREP decision by the regulator increasing our Pillar 2 requirement from 4.1% to 4.3% and the introduction of a Pillar 2 guidance at 4%. On the basis of improved risk parameters of the bank, we did not anticipate these levels for the two ratios. In particular, the newly prescribed Pillar 2 guidance of 4% is materially differing to what we expected and have guided investors through our 1.5% management buffer. Knowing that the final SREP decisions tend not to materially deviate from drafts, an immediate ad hoc announcement was required, which we published last Friday. Before going into some details on the draft SREP decision for 2020, let us highlight the following five key points. First, there is no element of material risk that surfaced recently which could cater for the adjustment in the capital ratios defined by the regulators in the draft SREP decision. Second, other than the Croatian Swiss franc provision which we announced, our business development is on track to reach our year-end goals. We're confident we'll confirm this during our Q3 earnings call scheduled for 19th of November. Third, we see no reason to deviate from our guidance with regards to the dividend payout from profit. Four, we are just about to finalize the preparations for our planned issuance of up to 100 million euro Tier 2 to further optimize our capital structure. Five, and very important, we remain committed to deliver on our midterm targets. What has changed following the draft SREP decision by the regulator is not if excess capital as defined by us exceeding 16.1% total capital ratio will be distributed, but when. Our ambition to make that happen is based on the following two elements. First, our commitment to return capital which is not needed to execute our clearly defined strategy as a specialist and not to grow into our capital base. Second, our diligent assessment of the appropriate capital levels compared to the new draft SREP decision, which Markus will elaborate on in a second. Most important, the timing is dependent on us successfully challenging the SREP draft decision in the administrative proceeding available to us, and Johannes will provide you with the intentions, with our intentions on that front. Let me now hand over to Markus.
Thank you, Razvan. Let me provide you with more insights to the content of the SREP draft decision. First, on the Pillar 2 requirement. Regulators must perform their Pillar 2 requirement assessment according to EBA regulation, reflecting an assessment of the business model, internal governance arrangements, risk to solvency, and systemic risks. While de-risking the ADECO balance sheet has been recognized through a slight reduction of the capital requirements reflected in credit risk, solvency risk, and since all other categories remained relatively stable with some minor improvements, but also some minor add-ons, the overall resulting 20 basis points increase of the Pillar 2 requirement is mainly argued with an insufficient and unstable staffing of the internal audit function to ensure that the audits can be executed according to plan. The management of ADECO has already taken action on this item, and it has been confirmed by the regulator that internal audit generally demonstrated high quality expertise. We will work with the regulators to further demonstrate the appropriate sizing of audit staffing, giving our simpler operating model. Since overall we were expecting a slight improvement in the Pillar 2 requirement assessment compared to current valid 4.1% charge, we were asking during yesterday's constructive discussion with representatives from the FMA and the Austrian National Bank to provide more transparency, especially on the expert judgments on how the add-ons have been derived from the factual assessment, also comparing with last year's assessment and benchmark for other institutions, since we consider their assessment as too conservative. Secondly, concerning the Pillar 2 guidance. The purpose of the Pillar 2 guidance is to ensure that under an adverse stress scenario, the bank maintains a capital level to cover the sum of regulatory defined Pillar 1 CET1 minimum requirement of 4.5%, Pillar 2 requirement as just explained, and the capital conservation buffer of 2.5%. To prove the stress resilience, we have applied the stress scenario and methodology according to the EBA guidelines, in line with the proportionality of the size of our bank. The result is fully incorporated into our management buffer of 1.5%, as it has been presented and disclosed during the IPO and our prospectus. The draft SREP letters Pillar 2 guidance definition of 4% is resulting in such a significant deviation from the bank's assessment that ADECO Bank asked the FMA and the Austrian National Bank to reconcile the methodology and the parameters, especially comparing with the publicly available benchmarks of Pillar 2 guidance in the European banking sector. We would be on the highest level, which is, on our view, hard to comprehend, also on the back of our demonstrated and comparably high asset quality. It can currently not be assessed if the Austrian National Bank stress test model has reflected the significant de-risking of the portfolio of ADECO during the last years and therefore compared to competitors' much lower actual default rate. We performed relative stress intensity benchmarking with competitors operating in our region who in 2018 had to apply the publicly available EBA stress test. Relative stress intensity results are on a comparable level to our assessment. In addition, we asked from the FMA and the Austrian National Bank to disclose if benchmarks have been applied, which are publicly available, such as non-performing loan ratios over many years, which was in fact considered by ADECO Bank. This all provides us the comfort that our management buffer of 1.5% is sufficient to cover an adverse stress, and that the level of capital requirement of 16.1, as defined in our planning assumptions and the midterm target capital level, is adequate. We will work with the regulators to demonstrate the prudence in our modeling so that we achieve regulatory requirements for capital ratios in line with the real risk profile of our simpler business model. Our continued improvement of our risk metrics and profitability will support that. And now to Johannes on the process to challenge the regulator's view.
Thank you, Markus. In yesterday's meeting with the regulators team at the FMA and the ÖNB, we were also able to confirm our understanding that only in exceptional circumstances the final SREP decision will deviate from the draft. If our written response submitted by October 25th and our right to be heard should not result in a positive reflection in the final decision, which we expect to receive during the first or second quarter 2020, we're well prepared to challenge the decision in the foreseen way via the administrative proceeding headed by a Senate composed of three independent judges taking a final decision in a process lasting usually up to 6 months. At this point, we would like to highlight that the regulators team, which we have worked with for many years, understands our motivations and specifically confirms to see no reason for an interference of our well-established relation, even in such circumstances. As management, we are fully committed to gain a fair level playing field regarding our capital requirements by maintaining a professional and constructive dialogue with the regulator, which we had throughout challenging times of our restructuring transformation. We see a good chance that this administrative proceeding will increase the insights regarding the right and comparable level of appropriate capital ratios, resulting in a positive ruling or at least an increased awareness during next year's SREP review. We are obviously at the same time assessing further value-enhancing measures to accelerate or enable us to distribute dividends above operating profits as we aim to fulfill a defining pillar of our strategy being a specialist and not a universal bank.
Thank you, Johannes. We would now open the floor for questions to the management team. Moderator, over to you.
Thank you. We will now begin our question and answer session. If you are on the conference call and have a question for our speakers, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter a queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your time to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. If you participate via the audio webcast, you can write a question via the Q&A function of the webcast by pressing the question mark button. One moment for the first question. And our first question is from Anna Marshall from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for organizing this conference call. Two questions from my side, please. Firstly, could you please confirm your priority in terms of dividend distributions, one in terms of a special dividend versus regular dividends, and two in terms of higher dividends in the shorter term versus sustainability of dividends, how you look at these parameters. And the second question, just to confirm that you now indeed intend to raise up to 100 million versus up to 90 million before of Tier 2, and also would AT1 issuance also be possible? Thank you.
I will ask Johannes to answer your two questions, yes. Anna. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So, as explained before by Razvan, it's very clear that we are committed to basically and so see no reasons to deviate from our guidance with regards to the dividend payout from profit. So that is the first. The other one, the special dividend, is basically under the restriction which we have explained earlier, that we see here a delay caused by the SREP draft decision, and as we explained before we need to basically align with the regulator, try to basically convince and assess with the and exchange information with the regulator in the first part of the process, which is the right to be heard. And if that is then ultimately not reflected in the final decision, we move forward with administrative proceeding. That was the first question.
The second question was relating to the Tier 2, 100 million. We initially announced 90 million, and now we say up to 100, and would it want to be also possible?
We said 90 or roughly 90 and 2% of our risk-weighted assets. Based on the first half results, it would be 93, and you usually issue a round number. So we are therefore saying we are targeting up to euro 100 million, but you can see in what kind of range we are, what kind of range we're indicating here.
Thank you. And about AT1?
On AT1, we have currently no plan to issue an AT1, but obviously, as I mentioned before, we are also considering other optimization measures, and that could be one. At the moment, there's no plan to issue alternative to one.
Okay, thank you.
Questions?
And our next question is from Simon Nellis from Citibank. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Oh, hi, gentlemen. I joined the call a bit late, so apologies if you've already answered this question, but did the regulator give you reasons why they're putting in place a 4% PTG versus the 1% that most other Austrian banks have?
Simon, I'll ask Markus to our CRO to answer your question. We sort of briefly covered during the call, but obviously it's important for you to get the information. So Markus, please.
We didn't get any details how they come in terms of methodology and assumptions of the model to these results. While they were disclosing to us the depletion of the capital they have calculated on, which deviates, as I said it before, significantly from what our stress assumptions are, we need to go into an exchange now, and that's where we were asking of disclosing more transparency on methodology and assumptions put into their model to be able to cross-check that also with the benchmarks we did. We benchmarked us in terms of what is documentation available, actual NPL ratios over the last 20 years in that region. We compared us with relative stress from the EBA stress done in 2018 by the other banks which are under ECB supervision in that region, which gives us the confidence that our stress is in line, especially in terms of severance, with what the other banks are doing in this region, and which was causing on our side the question why the Austrian National Bank model is coming to such a different result.
Okay. And what kind of buffer would you like to hold over, you know, the full capital requirement, including P2G? I mean, I know that your target used to be, I guess, a 14.1%, right? So 300 basis points over the CET1 minimum. If your new requirement is 15.3%, what kind of buffer above that would you want to hold?
Our current requirement is, considering a Pillar 2 requirement of 4.1%, that's the current valid value, is 14.6% including a capital conservation buffer, and the 1.5 add-on, as we always communicated also during the IPO process, is still the valid one and is adding up to the 16.1, meaning as including this management buffer, and we are sticking to that level.
But on a core Tier 1 basis, your requirement was 11.1, right? And that's going to 11.3, and now you'll have to hold 4% P2G on top of that, right? So what's your new core equity Tier 1 requirement, assuming that these proposals are
final? They are expecting from us, and that was also currently the case, that the Pillar 2 requirement has to be kept completely under CET1.
Mm.
So meaning if you add up these numbers, we are currently equipped with full CET1 quality, meaning that these minimum requirement of 14.6 is currently fully in CET1 reflected. That was the reason also regarding the Tier 2 issuance. This is also requested with the new draft SREP Pillar 2 requirement of 4.3, that this has to be kept also in CET1 quality. And in case the Pillar 2 guidance is coming, it's the same. It has to be kept also in CET1 quality.
I guess, to simplify the question, I mean, what would be your new CET1 target internally if these proposals are adopted?
It would be 18.8 would be the new requirement in case all these 4.3 on the Pillar 2 requirement and 4% on the Pillar 2 guidance would become valid. Why? With replacing 2% of Tier 1 with Tier 2, we could go down to a CET1 quality of 16.8.
So 16.8 would be the new internal
that
target.
That would be the target in CET1 quality.
If all the elements remain as they
exactly.
Okay. And you're above that now. So, I mean, that's why you're comfortable that it shouldn't impact the ordinary dividend, but obviously it could impact the special.
Yes.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. Very clear. Thanks. Actually, maybe just one last question from me, since I'm on. Can you just elaborate on the Swiss franc litigation issue in Croatia? Why do you still have residual exposure there? I mean, some of the other banks that I've spoken to seem to have provisioned most of their residual exposure. So I'm surprised.
Okay, Johannes can elaborate briefly on the Swiss franc ruling in Croatia.
Yes, exactly. So basically, you have basically seen the Supreme Court ruling. We made an ad hoc announcement on the 17th of September. And then we basically said we assess it further, and we basically quantified the impact, which we will have reflected in our third quarter results of a high single-digit euro million number. Now, I think what is important is we have looked at the whole potential issue and have basically estimated, also taking precedent cases, there was a unilateral legal cases also in Croatia. We looked at what has happened in other countries. We broke down the relevant parameters to assess or to counter this provision. And we see that we have basically here a provision which reflects the full impact, although this will come through over a number of years, because the status of limitation allows basically customers to come with this for 5 years, so until 2023, which we intentionally wanted to cover the whole impact with the provision, but obviously, we will see in the future how this develops. We believe that our insight, particularly from the unilateral cases, and we can elaborate on that one even in a separate discussion, this was all covered in the second half of 2019 financials, and this already came to the end of the status of limitation, the 5 years in mid of June, quite good understanding of the presence. Maybe what's most important for whoever has not involved himself with this, each individual has to file an individual case in the court, and you will go through the courts, so through the different instances, first and second instance, and we as Addiko, but also together with the other banks, are prepared to take this individual cases through the courts. And maybe the second thing is, if this is not clear also already from our talk, the the already converted cases cannot have compensation for second time. So they are not part of this one. And the converted cases, I mean the ones who have been converted based on the law from 2015.
Right. Okay. I mean, why didn't the clients take up that conversion option? I mean, does that kind of lead you to believe that they'll also be lax to actually try to litigate?
I think we would not like to disclose our numbers because this is never helpful. But we obviously looked at the whole population, and we looked at the ones who have already claimed in the unilateral interest, which is basically the case banks having not passed over changes in the reference rate to the customers. And we took the experience out of these cases, how many are coming forward and have even applied some conservatism of the whole population to estimate our number who might come forward on the Swiss franc, which, as I said before, is a similar case. In principle, on the merits, it's very different to the unilateral. Before the Supreme Court decision, we were winning these cases, but obviously we have assumed also conservatism with regard to that, because obviously primary courts will take some reference to the Supreme Court decision. But there are a number of elements you need to consider in evaluating this to ultimately come up with the right provision. We believe we have shown here a fair conservatism by looking at the whole population and assuming that more people will come forward than came forward on the unilateral, where they were generally winning, and in this one they were generally losing.
Okay, thank you.
And just as a reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 01. Our next question is from Mike Hutchins from Randis. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Yes, thanks, gentlemen, for holding the call. Regarding the 4% Pillar 2 guidance and your indication that there won't be a management buffer beyond that, from the perspective of the regulators, I mean, to what extent do you have scope to breach that 4% during the year, and what are the regulatory consequences, if any?
I'll ask Markus to answer this.
First of all, to clarify, the 4% Pillar 2 guidance, there's not on top an additional management buffer. So in our IPO prospectus and all the communication we did during that process, we have always calculated the 16.1 as our midterm target level, which included a 1.5 management buffer, which also would be foreseen in case Pillar 2 guidance introduction is happening, so that this is covering actually the needs also under Pillar 2 guidance. And our stress testing results were allowing exactly these 16.1 levels. Yeah. Regarding the consequences you were asking for, according to the EBA guidelines, not meeting the Pillar 2 guidance does not trigger the automatic restrictions on distribution of dividends provided in the Article 149, but may result in increased non-public supervisory action to improve capitalization of our institution. Is that answering your question?
Yes, it is. Thank you.
And our next question is from Johann Skimmich from RCB. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good afternoon. Question, yes, of course, on what? On dividends. I mean, yes, you are fine on Core Tier 1 also in the new requirements with P2G. The question is on total capital. You say that you confirmed the guidance from 2019 dividend. But if you don't manage to raise Tier 2, you will still not, you will breach this 18.8% new guidance. Is it correct?
Johannes, will you elaborate?
Yes, on that, yes, yes. This is absolutely correct. I mean, you have seen our numbers. We will reflect this, and we basically have the confirmed that we see no reason to deviate from our guidance with regards to dividend payout from profit. Now, there are two things which we still have not received in the SREP decision, which normally is required. One is the time, until which you need to implement it. And secondly,
the Pillar 2 guidance.
And secondly, consequences if you breach it. We do not see that there is a restriction on profit according to the EBA guidelines on P2G, as said earlier by Markus, and therefore we will obviously hold up, also if that's at all challenged by the regulator, we will hold up to say the profit has to be distributed in such a scenario. Yeah.
What I would like to add in addition is that that's also regulated via EBA guidelines, that in case now these shortage would come relevant in terms of capital, we would have to come with a capital plan, how we close the gap, and that can also happen over a certain time period, so it doesn't have to happen immediately from one day to the next. So that's the alignment with the regulators, where we have to provide them with a plan how we are doing this.
So in practice, actually, you risk your future dividends. I mean, you plan to do as much as possible short term. Doesn't matter what can happen later next year. So
no,
you have your relation with FMA.
No, we didn't say that.
Quite the opposite. Maybe can, yes. We basically, and this was actually the first question by Anna Marshall, we give at the moment, as we have this uncertainty around the Pillar 2 guidance, mm-hmm. we give preference, clear preference, and confirmed it with regards to the dividend from profit for the years to come. And I think this is basically a requirement that you can pay out dividends from profits. And we would regard it as very questionable if the regulator would prevent to do this. What we basically also said is that there is a question at the moment if we are successful to pay out of capital, basically excess capital above what we see as the right capital ratio, which is the 16.1. Here the question is, in our view, and we have elaborated on this in our introduction, is the when. Ultimately, we don't see the if in question. The when is under question. This is basically what has changed.
And how far are you with Tier 2 issue?
I said it also at the very beginning. We are just about to finalize the preparations.
To finalize the preparations. Okay, so you cannot tell about anything kind of pricing or whatever, in which direction we could go there. So it's early.
No, I mean, we never said, I think the following, we always said it's in the second half. We said in the half-year results calls on 20th of August that we are preparing, and now I say we are finalizing the preparation. We never would disclose the coupon. As I always said, this is we don't want this to become a self-fulfilling prophecy. We are aiming, obviously, for the best coupon which we can get, and therefore we don't want to disclose. And we gave earlier, when I was asked, a size, so between 90 and 100, roughly. It will be a round number, which we will raise.
Okay, thanks. And last one, just again on dividend, if I may. So you also confirmed dividend from 2019 results, also if you do not manage to raise Tier 2 capital.
Yes, this is, yes, we basically say we see no reason to deviate. I think We are committed as a management to pay out from profit, and we believe also by starting, you know, the limitations and what the EBA guidelines are saying, there's no restriction to pay out dividends from profit. And we believe that ultimately this will hold. There's no 100% certainty, but we are committed to pay out dividends from the year-end profit 19.
And once again, if you can, thank you, Ian, if you can just repeat on what's now in terms of procedure, what are next steps with FMA? When do you plan to get a clear picture? Was it within 6 months from now?
Correct. So, well, no, not from now. So basically, there's a first part which has started with the draft decision which we received. We have a next step to submit our comments and our reflections on it by October 25th, and then there will be a right to be heard, and then they will issue the final. Normally you get it in the first quarter. Last year, for whatever reason, the banks received it in the second quarter, received it in June. But we understood that this was very late. So this is basically when we expect to receive. Once you have the final decision, you can start to initiate the administrative proceedings, and they are lasting up to 6 months. So I think, we are obviously hoping not to take all the time, but it could well take up to, you know, same time of the year as now, and then they're already in the next SREP assessment. So therefore, what we expect from the whole administrative proceeding is either we get a positive ruling, but at least an increased awareness in the next STREP review, and that's the reason why we want to challenge if we don't get already a positive response, which is not very likely, but possible, in the final STREP decision.
And this is then immediately valid, right?
The final threat decision. Yes.
Yes.
We can. I'm not a lawyer, but what I understood is if we challenge it, it is basically pushed back. I understood this is the case currently until you get the decision, the final decision by the administrative ruling. But at the moment, I have no absolute certainty on this, but we are clarifying with lawyers what that would mean. We are not yet there.
Okay, thanks. Thank you very much.
And our next question is from Chris Ferreira from Frontier Global Partners. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
My questions have been answered. Thank you.
And our next question is from Walden Dodick from Erste Group. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes. Hello, gentlemen. Thank you very much for organizing this call. You said 100 million euros for T2. Can I ask how confident you are you might raise the whole sum?
As you said, we are prepared. We are finally, in our preparation, I would like to await the outcome.
Okay, thank you. When you say dividends, you stay committed to the guided dividends, we are talking about 40 million 2019-2020, because if the profit is lower, you stay committed to the 40 figures?
Well, thanks for asking this. We basically therefore stress dividend payout from profit. I think from all the discussion which you have heard before, the profits under this Pillar 2 guidance and EBA guidelines, I think it's out of question if we would step into capital with a different topic. We will also assess this possibility, but for what we have said today is out of profit. And we mentioned it at the beginning, actually, Razvan mentioned it, that we are on track with the exception of the Croatian court, Supreme Court decision, Swiss franc decision, which, as we indicated earlier this month, has an impact of high single-digit euro million figure range.
Thank you. And one more question, please. Yesterday was the press conference in Slovenia with the central bank imposing some limits for the retail lending. Is this a big effect on your, I mean, on the models, business models for all banks there?
This is Razvan. So we had similar experiences in the region in Serbia earlier this year, in Bosnia 1.5 years ago. So it is in line with the tendency in Europe for you know, regulators and consumer protection to look into a more to establish a more restrictive level of unsecured consumer lending. But this is our business, and we're managing it. We're the current regulation still allows enough space for us executing our plans.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
And just as a final reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, that is 01. Our next question is from Andre Konjak from Partners Group. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. Thanks for arranging the call, guys. Two questions from my side. Have you adjusted somehow your guidance for upcoming 12-8 months following very poor results reported in first half 2019?
So that's the first question. So if we adjusted our guidance,
yeah.
Second one?
Yeah, the second one is, what's the probability that this might happen again in next, let's say, 12-18 months horizon? And if yes, I mean, have you performed any stress test if this happens again?
Okay, sorry. The first one was if we adjust our guidance. I mean,
yep.
we
based on the current reported results.
We have basically not a short-term guidance. If you remember, what we show is a mid-term guidance. What we have is in a short term was the 40 and the 40 out of profit in terms of dividend. That's what we are giving. So therefore, there is no next 12 or 18 months guidance which we provide. But what we said is we are on track of, with exception of this impact, which we have also assessed and quantified in terms of a provision, we are on track with regards to this year. And we are committed to deliver on our midterm targets. So that's basically the first question. And the second was with regards, I think it was discussed before, we are basically now in the process of between the draft and the final SREP decision. If the final does not change, we are prepared to challenge this via the administrative proceedings. And we, as this is on a yearly basis reevaluated, we all win in the courts or we have a next year's proceeding. We believe ultimately that our assessments, and Markus elaborated on this with regards to stress test, which we will do again also this year, based on the final 19 figures, will basically confirm that our Pillar 2 guidance is significantly lower.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
And our next question is from Adrian Doble from KBW. Please go ahead, your line is open.
Good afternoon. Just a quick question. Can you give us an update on the risk development that you can see in for the second half? And would you consider disposing NPLs or any other alternative to improve capital or risk metric?
Thank you, Adrian. Markus can elaborate on this briefly.
Risk is developing according to expectations, overall even better. So reflected in releases also, you will see that then once on in November we are reporting the Q3 numbers. Also the NPL stock goes gradually further down. All that results, of course, also in capital requirements, which go gradually slightly down, and but are according to our mix change in the portfolio. So on certain portfolios we are going down, the non-focus, and in the focus segments we are going up with the respective risk weights behind. So it's a combination of several items, but coming to the asset quality is on a very solid, very good level. Also what we see from the new business, everything is in line with expectations, so no surprises here.
Yeah, in terms of capital optimization measures, Adrian, we're continuously looking at that. We will not accelerate. You might remember from our presentations that our transformation from non-focus to focus has to be gradual in order to ensure that we balance the release of capital and funding from the non-focus area with the continued earnings that we can generate from that segment. So at this stage, we will not consider immediately an acceleration of that process. That we are looking, but regardless of this circumstance, we're continuously looking at capital RWA optimization actions.
Okay, thank you.
And just as a final reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 01. Our next question is a follow-up from Simon Nellis from Citibank. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, yeah, just a quick follow-up from me. The 17.6% Core Tier 1 that you reported in the first half, can you just remind me, did that include any dividend deduction? And did it include the first half earnings? I think it did, right?
Yeah, so it's excluding the profit and obviously the dividends, yeah?
Sorry, it excludes both profit and
dividend. Yeah.
So you'd only accrue that in the end of the year, the profit,
no.
Less the dividend.
Correct.
Okay,
yes.
Got it. Thank you.
And our next question is from Alex Natolo from Fiera Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks a lot for doing this call. Just one very quick question. What was the original guidance for the net profit for 2019, excluding the Swiss franc provision?
There was no guidance. We never gave a short-term guidance. As we understood, this was not even allowed. We gave basically a guidance that we aim for 40 million for 19 and 40 million for 20 in terms of dividends coming out of profit. So indirectly, you can obviously from that derive something. And now as we basically came up with that we are on track excluding this Swiss franc provision with regard to the year end. So that's the maximum which we can say. And obviously the third quarter earnings call on 19th of November will provide more visibility where we are.
Okay, thank you very much. Cheers.
And as there are no further questions at this time, I will hand the word back to the speakers for any final comments.
All right, and thank you everybody for your participation. Since there is no further questions, this concludes the call. Thank you very much and have a good remaining day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.